You're listening to the 503 Report with Tim Reinerson and Andrew Wellborn, where America's voice is heard. Be sure to check out our website weekly as we bring Sacramento and the world to you at www.503report.com, where America's voice is heard.
I feel so good, come payday. I think of all the things I'm gonna buy when I pick up my pay, don't you know? But then they hand me that little brown envelope. I peep inside, Lord, I lose all hope. 'Cause from those total wages earned, boom, 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 bubba, boom, bubba, boom, bubba, boom, 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 bubba, boom, 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 bubba, boom, bubba, boom, bubba, boom, bubba, boom, 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 boom. I feel so good.
I wish I felt as good as Johnny Cash, but I really can't. What's going on here in northeastern California? Your paychecks, they're going to be under attack once again. Nonprofit leaders proposing a tax to fight poverty. Several nonprofit leaders from Southern California are proposing a 2016 ballot measure that would target hundreds of millions of dollars at additional anti-poverty efforts. The proposed tax, here we go, Lifting Children and Families Out of Poverty Act, would impose a surcharge, aka a tax, up to 1% on real estate with assessed values at more than $3 million. The surcharge, tax, would raise an estimated $7.7 billion, with almost all of that coming from the commercial properties. Now, nonprofit groups rely on government subsidies and private donations to help their programs. But private donations will almost certainly be affected by the surcharge if the act is passed by voters. So, once again, we have somebody else out there in California trying to get more money. And Andrew's been talking about that $7 billion in a lot of different ways. But here's another reason where they're trying to raise another $7 billion. Nonprofit groups and organizations do a great job. But how can you tax the people that are donating you the money to you, along with individuals, and then raise the taxes on them as well? It's California. It's all messed up. And we're going to talk about it here today on Friday, our favorite day of the week here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And as always, I'm joined by my good friend, Andrew Wellborn. Buddy, how you doing, pal?
I think churches are nonprofit, aren't they, folks?
Yes, they are.
Other organizations out there, you know, that raise all that money. Wait a minute, is Jesse Jackson's organization nonprofit?
Yeah.
Al Sharpton's organization? Are they going to be included? Or are they going to relocate out of the state of California, if they're even in the state of California? Just confusing, isn't it? I mean, tax, $7 billion. It's been a magic number, $7 billion. All the way back to, let's say, Pete Wilson and Gray Davis. Huh. It's kind of interesting how this number seems to be coming up consistently over the last decade. $7 billion. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And, of course, Tim, we are where America's voice is heard, my friend.
Yeah, we are. And, you know, and every time you look at that paycheck, it gets a little bit smaller, Andrew. And we talk about it. I wish we had other things to talk about, but not a lot going on. But nonprofit groups, and I haven't heard that for a long time, and they are out there proposing the California Children's Poverty and Families Welfare Act, or something like the Lifting Children and Families Out of Poverty Act. Now, we've had Prop 40, we've had all the propositions out there to help the kids and the schools and everything. Now it's the Lifting Out of Poverty Act out there. So it's going to get a lot of play. Everything for the children seems to pass here in the great state of California. But, you know, a lot of folks donate to organizations. You think of the Red Cross and like that, nonprofit groups and organizations. But this is more for the bigger cities down in Southern California, San Francisco area. where their funding is maybe a little bit more restricted. It's been getting a little bit tighter for them to get that dollar out there, and they want to keep, you know, those 2-, 3-, 4-year-olds in preschools and things like that. And so now that's a big dollar amount out there, $7 billion, up to 1% a surcharge on the folks who have properties worth over $3 million.
I'm serious, folks. I think it's targeting churches. I mean, I'm not trying to be conspiratorial here, but, you know, in light of what's going on out here in California, you know, in nonprofit groups, majority of property is owned by who? Churches out here. And I just think that as a result of some of the social issues and the movements that we're seeing out here in California, they're not going to come out and say that is directly aimed at churches out here in California. But, you know, my radar is blipped here a little bit. You know, I mean, I can't help but see the red flag as far as the effect it's going to be on churches at this point to increase it.
And, you know, the voters, it's once again, if they get the signatures, because that's just in the preliminary stages, Andrew, they're just trying to put the feelers out there. But, you know, I made the top story in some papers down in Sacramento and San Francisco for those folks even to think about going after that. So, you know, are the families here in California, Andrew, and listeners out there, you know, people donate to organizations like this all the time, but is it getting a little bit tougher for the average families to do that, Andrew?
People donate a lot to churches too, don't they? I mean, when it comes down to this, all right, let's, I think I've made my point here for the most part, you know, when it comes down to this. I mean, good Lord, I mean, I think the best part about a year, every year is the summertime when the legislature is not in session. I think that's the only relief that we get out here in California is when our legislature is not in session. But at the same time, it gives opportunity for crazy propositions to come forward, individuals who want to go out there and make the legislatures do something that they don't want to do. But, you know, interesting times, you know, obviously a lot of initiatives coming up. They're starting to file. We see Gavin Newsom out here, Lieutenant Governor for the state of California out here with his Blue Ribbon Marijuana Commission, you know, starting to take a look at this. And I'll get more on this on the bottom part of the show. But, you know, folks, hey, $7 billion has been the magic number for so long, I cannot remember. Governor Gray Davis was recalled because there was a $7 billion deficit. And then he proposed, or he said he was not going to raise vehicle license fees. What is exactly what Governor Jerry Brown is proposing with his legislature? I mean, come on, California, come on, wake up. Governor Brown, this proposal that you are moving through the legislature during the summertime is exactly what got your former chief of staff, former Governor Gray Davis, recalled out of the state of California.
You know, it's like a news story, Andrew. Friday about 5 o'clock, you put something there and the folks don't pay attention to that, and they have to have people like us reporting the news. You know, in the summertime, legislature's not in. Folks are really not paying attention what's going on. But folks, your pocketbook, like Johnny Cash was singing there, you want to do a little bit better for your family. It gets tougher and tougher.
Well, like I said, you know, legislature's not in session, so in order to do something like that, he has to call for the special session. I do not think at this point it has been called. I don't know at this point. I haven't seen anything out there in the media, but you're absolutely right. You know, they call it the Friday document dump at the national level. And guess what? It's the summertime going to get in your pocket movement out here in California when people are not paying attention, obviously. It's the summertime. You're out there with your kids. And then, you know, of course, we want to propose things to help your kids. But the reality, folks, is this. For everything that we do out here in California, in the name of helping out your kids, we're creating a bigger and bigger burden for those same kids in the future.
It sure would be nice to hear something where somebody were to come out and say, why don't we try to get some more jobs here in the great state of California instead of driving people away? I mean, let's talk about that in the summer when they have no legislature not in right now. Let's talk about that and how we can affect the bottom line for families.
Well, what do you expect? I mean, you got 23 California campus presidents with the UC system right now looking to get a 2% increase. I mean, folks, these salaries average anywhere between I just can't believe how high these guys are making, in between $200,000 to $400,000 a year. But we're going to give them an increase. And where do we think that increase is going to come from? I mean, for every individual out there who's got a kid in college, where do you think it's going to come from? It's coming from you, the individual who's got a kid in college, when that tuition goes up. And now we're looking at the California university system once again, man. They're going to implement a $15 an hour minimum wage being paid for any individual that works on those campuses. So guess what? Where's that going to come from again, folks?
Me?
You, our good friend John Shuford, who's in studio with us. I believe he's got a young man in college at this point in time. Every listener out there, this increase is going to come from somewhere. Yeah, it'd be great to make $15 an hour. I would have loved to have made $15 an hour, I don't know, 25 years ago.
Absolutely.
You know, when I was starting out in life, you know. But at the same time, you know, it's got to come from somewhere. And so when we're looking at $7 billion shortfalls in the state budget, I think maybe a little bit of the money that we are, you know, increasing for the university system out here in California probably should go to that $7 billion shortfall, rather than to once again reach deep into your pockets as a resident out here in California, as Johnny Cash was talking about.
Well, Andrew, that is absolutely correct. When you're showing shortfalls like that, you have got to maintain what you have right there, and do not expect to get anything more in your pocketbook for the time being when the money is tight for everybody in California.
$12.6 billion a year. That's what the salaries are within the California State University System.
Wow.
And, you know, we are $7 billion short again, and they're going to come after you. They're going to come after your vehicles. And, you know, I guess the churches now need to be aware in order to cover that $7 billion shortfall. Okay, California and this nation, time for something you may or you may not know today. 1866, Tennessee became the first Confederate state readmitted to the Union at the conclusion of the Great Civil War. And then, of course, 1941, horrifically, the Nazis killed the entire Jewish population of Grutze, Lithuania. Man, and of course, 1961 was the beginning of a trend. A U.S. commercial plane is hijacked and went to where? Cuba.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Heard every Friday right after the news about 12:15 here on 1240 KSU. Live streaming on the World Wide Web at SierraDailyNews.com. Want to join the conversation? 257-TALK out of the area. 1-866-882-1277. Back with more on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And now, it's live from the high desert in the Sierra Nevada mountains. It's the 503 Report, Northeastern California's original political talk show, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And here's your host, Tim Reinertsen.
Thank you, Stan. Welcome back, everybody. It's our favorite day of the week, Friday, the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. The half-hour show coming to you live on 1240 KSU and SierraDailyNews.com. I'm joined, as always, by my good friend, to my right, Andrew Wilborn. How you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing great. You know, I took my girl out to the fair last week. We had a great time, saw the show, made some new friends. Interesting group of individuals who came up here to visit. And I have to tell you, folks, hopefully everybody enjoyed the Lassen County Fair up here in Susanville, California, where we broadcast out of. And, you know, I want to talk about some interesting individuals. Adam the Great, man. And, of course, our good friend now, Martina and Kevin Keith. They're with Wild About Monkeys. And I tell you, if you missed that show, you missed a treat. That was a great, great show. And unfortunately, there was no advertising or promotion about Wild About Monkeys, I have to tell you. Hopefully, we can get them up here next year. We can get the fair to promote it. If you missed it, folks, make sure you catch it whenever you can, because it's an awesome show, awesome group of people, and it was just great to call these individuals our new friends. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And, of course, Tim, we are where America's voice is heard, my friend.
And there's nothing more American than a county fair, and we had that last weekend. It was a lot of fun. I got a chance to interview Adam the Great live on a broadcast, and sleight of hand was pretty good. He was amazing. Pretty good. Yeah, he was amazing, Andrew.
Well, I'll tell you what, we had a private show with him up there at the Lassen Ales up here in the Ville, and I have to tell you, it was impressive. I was so caught up in trying to catch him, I couldn't catch him, so I just started enjoying the show, and he was just probably one of the best performances I ever saw. And so I want to thank Lassen Ales for having us up there and waiting after that last call, having us having that opportunity to have that show amongst the employees, and hopefully they enjoyed it. And of course, you know, there's a big event coming up this weekend. Hopefully my wife and I will be able to attend that one, Midsummer Madness up there in Chester at Bailey's Creek Golf Country Club.
Yes.
And you know, it's going to be interesting. All my fellow Rotarians, that's brought to you by the Chester Rotary Club, looking forward to going up there and maybe enjoy a time of good beverages and good foods with my fellow Rotarians over there in Plumas County.
You know, you can't say enough about groups like that. We were talking about groups in the opening 15 minutes, but the Rotarians, the Kiwanis, the Elks, if you have the Lions Club, if you have those in your communities, they do a lot for you, your community, unbeknownst to a lot of folks, and we can't thank them enough for everything they do for our community up here.
I'll tell you what, that's what it's about. That's how small-town America works. And you know what America is speaking of? I'm getting kind of tired of this California reactionary thing that we're starting to see. You know, last week we talked about all of a sudden, you know, there's a Senate bill, there's a piece of legislation to take the grand jury process away from prosecutors when it comes to misconduct performed by peace officers in their duty. And this reaction, you know, look, the movement out here in California now to remove the name from every Confederate general, great individuals of a horrific time in our history. And when I talk about horrific, it's just how many individuals died in the name of freedoms and rights, you know, which is the foundation of this nation. But, you know, to try to rename Fort Bragg, California right now is something that really, I think we're going a little too far, Tim, as far as trying to remove any remnants of the Confederacy out of our nation's history out here in California.
And that one kind of shocks me as well, Andrew. I'm glad you brought that up because that's Northern California where we broadcast out of, and it's very conservative area up here. And I agree with you on that as well. I really didn't think we were going to see anything like that here in California, a movement like that, because most people would think that that is more of a Southern tradition and what they had on there. And to tell you the truth, I wasn't even sure about where the name came from. I figure it was just a great person in that area where they were named after, like a lot of towns are.
Yeah, Braxton Bragg, you know, a Confederate general, a great general that was honored by the federal government with the fort being named after him. I mean, what's next? Are we going to take the name Sherman away from certain individuals and certain tanks and certain military locations because of his scorched earth policies that he put onto the Confederacy? I mean, look, you know, Braxton Bragg, the reason he's named after Braxton Bragg is because he wasn't a Hayes. You know, he didn't do something that was controversial. And so at the conclusion of the war, look, the federal military is they're naming these forts and these weapons and everything like that after great military individuals. So it's not like, you know, this individual like Erwin Rommel, he wasn't a Nazi, yeah, but he was a great military man for the Germans. And so, you know, to eliminate Erwin Rommel's tactics out of West Point would be ridiculous. So, you know, we just need to calm down on trying to erase. I think it's going to be a problem for us. It's we should really consider the direction we want to go out here in California as far as erasing something very important in our history. And you know what, regardless of your opinion about the War of the States, you know, the bottom line is there is so much to learn from. But that PCS agenda out here on the West Coast, hate seems to be the new word that everybody wants to use. Hate, racist, hate. So if you disagree with certain things out there or certain points of views, now you are a hater, and now you are a racist. These two words are popping up more and more in mainstream leftist talking points.
Andrew, is it because there is nothing going on in California, down in Sacramento, where the legislature is in? There's nothing going on in there right now, and they have to have something, bullet points. We talked about the grand juries last week, the nonprofits this week, and the surcharge tax that they have. Is it just something that they always have to have an agenda, something going on to stir and mix the pot?
Well, it's a reactionary thing. I mean, California, once upon a time, you know, there's a lot of, there used to be a lot of pride in California, I guess. At least when I came to California, you know, the stigma or the pride was what happened in California. What starts in California usually goes across the nation. Well, that hasn't been the case as much. You know, we're starting to see other things occurring throughout the nation. You know, I mean, all the way from gay marriage didn't start in California. The voters rejected it. You know, I'm not sure which state in the union was the first state to legalize gay marriage, but you know, the marijuana initiative at this point in time, California still has not legalized marijuana for recreational use, and you know, Colorado was. Now other states are following. So California is starting to lose its status as being, you know, a trend center, should we say, across this nation with some of its policies, some of its positions that it takes. And you know, when we talked about earlier on the show, Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom. Now, I mean, I'm going to give him some kudos here a little bit.
I thought you just might after article.
Yeah, you know, you read that. It's good for him to actually step up against some of these stupid initiatives that are being filed to legalize marijuana out here in California. In fact, it's kind of ironic because in his commission, in his report that they're getting ready to release, are the issues that you and I discussed when we read that initiative that's being proposed to the people. So it's good to see the governor start to come out and say, oh, I'm sorry, the lieutenant governor.
Acting governor for a minute.
Yeah, currently the front runner for governor out here in the state of California actually come forward and to advocate the importance of regulation on the marijuana industry. Regulation and control within, if it is passed out in California. I mean, we're not even sure yet it's going to pass out in California, but it's good to him to advocate for local control, local restrictions need to be a part of this. So it's interesting because, you know, when you read this report, it's almost like this commission is getting ready to file its own initiative to get everybody behind, which would probably give the local control, local counties, to be able to say, no, we don't want to cultivate it in our counties. We don't want to cultivate it in our cities. That local control is going to be very important out here in California, just like it is across this nation. Now, let's talk about Colorado here real quick. You know, it's crazy because the first reports are now starting to come out of the state of Colorado with its legalization of marijuana. And then the report came out that in 2014, they sold 20 tons of marijuana for recreational use. And I don't know. To me, it didn't seem like a lot.
That's just a field up in Humboldt County somewhere, I think.
No, I was measuring it. You know, I'm looking at 20 tons of hay, you know, because of, you know, I mean.
Not that much.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I didn't think that. I thought it would be way more than 20 tons. But ironically, it represented about $500 million in sales, just about $600 million in sales. Now, here's the thing, folks. This is the number we need to look at, and especially take into consideration out here in California before any legalization initiative goes before you. It was only 63. I'm going to say it one more time. Only $63 million raised for the state of Colorado. I just don't think that the $60 million is going to cover the regulatory cost with the expansion of the government, much less make funds available to other social issues, which are going to be an impact on the state of Colorado. So these issues are something we're going to have to take a look at. And when we're looking at, you know, basically the state of California, when they're talking about only a 10% sales tax on the sale of recreational marijuana, you know, I mean, is that going to be enough? And you take a look at the initiative, the proposals, and the expansion of government that is going to come as a result of this, I just don't think that those numbers are going to add up favorably for the people of California.
If you'd like to join the conversation, 257-TALK, 8255, 8256. Toll free at 1-866-882-1277. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
Every Wednesday this summer at Quincy's historic Feather River Grange, come enjoy country dance lessons. Lessons are geared for beginners and intermediates, especially those who never thought they could dance. Texas two-step, cowboy cha-cha, cowboy waltz, and others will be taught. The fun starts at 7 o'clock every Wednesday at Quincy Grange, Main Street, diagonally across from the CHP. $3 for adults, $2 for college students. 18 and over, please. This message, a community service of your favorite radio station. The Lassen County Arts Council and Every Bloomin' Thing invite you to Cork and Canvas in the Garden, Saturday, July 25th from 11 till 1:30 at Every Bloomin' Thing. They provide the artists easel, 16 by 20 canvas, paint, brushes, apron, snacks, and two drinks, limited to 25 participants, $25 for members, $30 non-members, and you must be 21 to attend. To get more information or to register, call 257-5322.
Oh, The views and opinions expressed on the 503 Report do not necessarily represent those of staff or management of KSUE or Sierra Broadcasting Company, and are brought to you solely by Andrew Wellborn and the 503 Network.
Okay, California and America, it's time for something you may not know. Hopefully you remember some of these things that occurred on this date, July 24th. The year is 1974. The United States Supreme Court unanimously rules that President Richard Nixon must turn over the Watergate tapes. 1979, United States President Jimmy Carter names Paul Volcker, which was a kind of a controversial name. He's president of the Federal Reserve. And then in 1990, this one I remember very well, the United States warship in the Persian Gulf were placed on alert after the Iraqi mass 30,000 troops near the border with Kuwait. And then 2002, ready? Yeah, not just Republican folks. Let's remember this happens to Democrats too. 2002, James Traficant, Ohio congressman, Democrat, is expelled from the United States House of Representatives as a result of corruption. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And, of course, Tim, as you know, we are where America's voice is heard. And we do have a call on the line. Welcome to 503 Report. Thank you for joining the conversation. What's on your mind today?
Well, I just thought that it would be nice if our government in Sacramento just met like every 2 years, like Nevada's does, mm-hmm. or maybe half a year or something, other than sitting down there thinking up all these crazy laws that they come up with.
The more time that they're down there, the more they can get into our tax or into our pocketbook, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, a lot of states do exactly what she's talking about. The state of Texas has got a part-time legislature, and that's the term, part-time legislature. States, it seems like the states that actually have part-time legislatures actually, you know, do very well most of the time. So, interesting point. And, you know, I think, I don't know, man. It goes back and forth with the state of California. I mean, I hear the trend that's building with a lot of things, especially up here in Northern California, as far as the attitudes towards the legislature. But, you know, the legislature, you know, it brings it on themselves. Okay, we do have another call online. Welcome to 503 Report. Thanks for joining the conversation. What's on your mind today?
Yes, I read in the Lassen Times, Tuesday, June the 30th in 2015, page 5A, the initiative to legalize marijuana. And I found these negatives. And I wanted to bring it to the voters' attention so that they stay alert and we can fight this stuff back. It creates a commission to regulate and license marijuana industry. Does this process take power away from our local county? Imposes personal liability on law enforcement for wrongful marijuana destruction or assisting with certain marijuana investigations. Does this process take power away from our local county? Legalizes under state law marijuana use, growth, cultivation, possession, transportation of storage or sale. Does this process take power away from our local county? For the negatives in this initiative, we as citizens need to stay alert and not let the state take more power away from us, weakening our traditions and principles which makes America great.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And, you know, I want to refer to a couple shows back where we actually read that initiative. You know, we're making fun of it for the most part, but it's good to hear that the people up here in Northeastern California and all the way to Lieutenant Gavin Newsom, Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom out here in California, are beginning to pay attention to exactly what we brought up a couple of weeks ago as far as restricting, as the caller was pointing out, our ability locally to be able to regulate, control, and have our say-so and opinions as far as this process.
And Gavin Newsom, the one that really kind of shocked me a little bit, was he was also said, because you know that the liberal left, they're all about money and how they can get more money. But he said, you know, I don't think this is going to really do a lot for our coffers, like you mentioned a few moments ago. you know, Colorado is $60 million, probably not going to do that much, a drop in the bucket, maybe here in California as well. So we got to give it to the lieutenant governor for that.
Well, absolutely, that's what it's going to be, because, you know, it restricts the state's ability to tax it. It restricts the local ability to be able to tax it. And that's the whole purpose of it, isn't it? Even though I disagree with the point, if you want to legalize it, I always say, you legalize it for use, that's fine, but that's up to the people. But as far as legalizing it for tax revenue, I think it's a bad idea. We've already got two vices, as we say all the time on this show, that we've legalized in the name of tax revenue, and it's just been detrimental to our citizens as a whole. Now, let's move on here real quick. I got to tell you, man. Oh, man, I'm loving me some Donald Trump, man. That's all I got to say, folks. I love it. I love it. I love it. You know, it's shaking up the field. It's shaking it up. You know, this is an example of an individual who really, you know, the courage. Well, first of all, I mean, he doesn't care if he makes you mad. You know, the political correctness is totally, completely out of his vocabulary. He's saying it straight up. And it's resonating, I think, with the majority of the people across this nation. And I have to tell you, I'm looking forward to the debate, like most people are, because he's going to be on it. I think it's going to be probably one of the highest rated.
Oh, it's going to be the highest rated debate, I think, Andrew.
Political debate probably in viewership history as a result of him being on that stage. So, Donald, you keep going, buddy. I like what you're doing. And, you know, as far as the third party candidate that everybody's talking about, you know, it may be interesting because, you know, Tim, you know, I made the mistake. I've said it several times on the show. I made the mistake with Ross Perot, you know, when he ran against George Bush Sr. in the 92 presidential election. And I'm listening to the pundits talk about how that, you know, it's going to be detrimental. Might as well just call Hillary Clinton President Clinton should Donald Trump do a third party. I just don't know if that's going to be the case this time. Remember, folks, let's go back in history. Let's see. This is what frustrates me when people just take, as Donald Trump said, it's a piece of a sentence here and a piece of sentence. Well, when you take a piece of history here, a piece of history here, and you try to portray that as truth, we forget that Ross Perot was winning. Ross Perot was winning across this nation before he dropped out the first time. And when he dropped out is when he lost credibility. And then he's in, he's out, he's in, he's out. That's what created the problem for that third-party candidacy. And as a result, President Bill Clinton became president of the United States with only 46% of the national vote. So, you know, if Donald Trump maintains a level of credibility, I think this is what this nation is starving for. I hear it all the time amongst so many people about the need for a third party. But wouldn't it be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome if Bernie Sanders did the same thing Democrats and really shake this nation up? Boy, I tell you what, that's my utopic moment here. I think it would be awesome to see two independents running against a Republican and Democrat. And you know what, folks? There it is. Something we hear all the time. This is your opportunity to make a statement should this happen. So I don't think at this point in time that the historical references towards Donald Trump being an independent, you know, candidate, a third-party candidate, would be the same as Ross Perot, because Ross Perot dropped out. So unless Donald Trump drops out,
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think so, man. And that's why his momentum is beginning to build, I think, across this nation.
You know, you go back and 23 years ago when Ross Perot, and I remember when he got on the TV and had his spots on there, and he was talking about chickens and trying to do different things, and it just wasn't resonating with him. Although he did, like you said, he was winning, but he just seemed a little crazier, like that crazy uncle or somebody. Where Donald Trump, everybody has, he's been in the news for 40 years. Donald Trump, everybody knows what's going on with the Donald.
Well, I mean, Ross Perot's, here's the deal.
Yeah,
with all this chart. So, I mean, it resonated. Here's the deal. And he put up the charts, you know, and showed people exactly where the problems were. You know, he made it viewable, put it in people's faces, and people saw exactly what the deal was in Washington. And you know what, when it comes to Donald Trump, I think, obviously, he is an American success story. You know, he's an individual who's built his wealth, lost his wealth. He's been successful. He's failed. You know, I wish he would have kept the USFL in the spring, because then we'd have football year round rather than try to take on the NFL. But, you know, things like that. I mean, look, he's an American story. You know, he's made his fortune not, you know, buying companies, destroying companies. You know, he's made
building.
His money by building. Exactly. And the buildings that he's built has either, you know, performed or they don't perform. So it's not like he's gone in and dismantled companies in the name of profit. And I think he's going to be a force to reckon with. Now we see that Hillary Clinton's coming out today, and she's going to talk about raising, you know, short-term capital and gains investments up to 36%. Ooh. I'm sorry, no, it's going to be a whopping 39.6%, which is
wow.
your standard income. That's what you pay, folks. 39.6%. That's the high end income for individuals. For almost 40% of your money goes to the federal government. So now they're looking at basically raising the capital gains over a 6 years. So in other words, if you do not maintain that capital investment for 6 years, I you know, all you house flippers out there, I'm not sure how yeah. that's going to affect you out here in California and across this nation. You know, can you imagine having to hold a house for 6 years before you can flip
no.
it? Otherwise, you're going to pay a 39.6% capital gains on that investment. Now, here's another word that they're starting to use, okay? This is the word that's going to come out of the Hillary Clinton camp. You know, we've been talking about hate now, the word racist. This one's they're using a word right out of libertarianism, okay? You ready? Right out of the Declaration of Independence. Now, they're focusing on Wall Street as the tyranny of today's earnings report.
Really?
The tyranny of today's earnings report. And I got to tell you, man, I mean, look, there's a reason why Bernie Sanders is starting to gain ground. And I just had this big conversation the other day with our good friend Christopher Bennett. Look, Bernie Sanders, if you look at it and you look at the individuals that are in his crowd, and if you profile them, and you looked how they're dressed, how they're acting, what they're saying, what they're thinking. Yes, we know that Bernie Sanders is a socialist. We know, as an independent, you know, he advocates at some point in time for, you know, a 90% income tax here in the United States. We know all that. But, you know, what's happening is here, the true progressivism, the true progressive movement at the turn of the century is exactly what's happening right here. They're using the words equality, equal playing field. You know what? If I was advising Bernie Sanders' campaign, I'd say, you know what, Bernie, you got to change the word to equal opportunity. If you change the word to equal opportunity, you would gain so much ground, because that's what progressives want. Progressives traditionally were just the antitrusters. They wanted opportunity. They were conservatives, they were capitalists, but they were anti-monopolies. So this message right now that is beginning to formulate around Wall Street is going to get a little traction, I believe, because look, some of the things that Wall Street are doing, some of the things that the United States Congress is doing, is resulting in, I think, a modern true progressive movement. So you see the socialists, you see the communists now, beginning to call themselves progressives, because progressive individuals just want an equal opportunity in the United States, because that's what is guaranteed in the in our Constitution.
And that's what everybody wants. Everybody resonates with that, and they feel that, Andrew. All you want is that opportunity to make yourself well, make yourself better. You can do for your family and everybody else. It makes perfect sense what you just said.
Well, raising taxes, it seems to be, you know, what's happening here. You know, I mean, look, the bottom line is corporate America, when you're looking at $4 trillion offshore, it's getting frustrating for the American workforce out here, you know. So $15 an hour avocation. I mean, $15 an hour avocation in some of these states across this nation, you know, I mean, I don't even think that's going to be able to, you know, help a lot of the individuals. So my compassion's there as far as the American worker. But at the same time, you know, look, I'm a capitalist. I mean, look what we're trying to do here. We're trying to grow a business. But man, you guys are in California. You guys are doing things are kind of not really giving us the incentive to try to grow this business, because we work hard, long hours to put on this show. But at the same time, man, you know, when you're looking at 40%, maybe 50, 60% of any potential earnings going back into the government, I mean, good Lord, man. I mean, I'd be better off dealing with the mafia when it comes, or loan sharks when it comes to, you know, getting out there and getting in bed with business. I mean, so here's the deal. I mean, here's the deal, folks. Look, the bottom line is this progressive movement is something we need to take a look at. We got to watch the marijuana movement out here in California. So the Democrats, the socialists, the left socialist communist movement of this nation, they're starting to become very, very successful. You know why they're becoming very successful? It's real simple. It's because of what Will Durant said. The political machine triumphs because it is a united minority acting against the divided majority. And that's what's happening in this nation, folks. So, you know, pay attention. This is, we're at a crossroad, I think, with this country. Not just out here in California, but across this nation. So, folks, you know, pay attention. It's going to be a very, very important election season coming up in the next, 18 months or so.
Absolutely. And the 503 Report is going to keep you up to date on everything, Andrew.
Okay, folks, now time for my favorite book. It comes from John 3:2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And of course, we always want to thank those men and women who go to work every day, working the toughest beat in the state, performing the duty so that you, our listener, up and down the state of California and across this nation can be safe.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Heard every Friday after the news, about 12:15 on 1240 KSU, live streaming on the World Wide Web at SierraDailyNews.com. About a half hour after the show, go to SierraDailyNews.com and you can catch a rebroadcast, a podcast of this show, and go to the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard, for past shows as well. And grab a cup of coffee and join us weekends, Saturdays at 7 before the news, and Swap Shop Sunday at 7:30 before pre-programmed material. Folks, have yourselves a great weekend. The summer is almost over for the kids. It's hard to believe, only a few more weeks and they'll be going back to school. And as always, remember, like Kid Rock says, we were all born free. Have a great weekend. Until next Friday, everybody.
Let me thank you for your time.